Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Hold me with your hand. expected your hand clap to be louder. I was expecting your excitement level to be way up tonight. Is somebody excited to be in church? Is somebody ready for what is about to come? You know, if you are here, you should understand that something very important is happening to you. Because you are one of the very few who have the privilege of sitting in a place like this on a Saturday evening. Hallelujah. And I'm excited that you didn't come to watch a movie. I'm excited that you didn't come to hear the wisdom of man being expounded. I'm excited that you didn't come here to look for a lady you have spotted somewhere. You came to have an encounter with God. Hallelujah. Did somebody come to have fellowship with God tonight? You know, we are about to hear the word of God, and I'm excited that the vessel that is bringing the word of God is a very, 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 very international vessel. Hallelujah. And a very, 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 very anointed vessel. Hallelujah. He is well sought over the world, everywhere over the world. If you went to podcast, he's a well sought after minister. And you are blessed that you see him, you hear him, you are in a service that he's preaching live. You are not hearing his voice over a radio. You are not hearing his voice on a podcast. You are hearing him. You are seeing him. You see him. You hear him. That's why church tonight, I want us with Jesus joy to welcome onto our international pulpit the servant of God who brings us the mind of God. Your pastor, my pastor. Church, I want us to welcome our pastor, the Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo, and your shout can be louder. Clap your hands for Jesus tonight. And I want us to bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We are grateful to you. We look to you. We are privileged that you will select us to be here in your presence.
It's a privilege.
It's a prayer that you will speak to us.
Yes, Lord.
And touch our lives. In a mighty way.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. So we want to ask ourselves a question, which is really the title of this book. Why is it that few are chosen?
why are few chosen? We have a great privilege. You are greatly privileged to be sitting in church tonight. You could have been in jail tonight. You could have been sitting on a hospital bed tonight. I saw pictures of the president of Sierra Leone. Well, I didn't know when it happened because I'm not aware there's a UN General Assembly. The sound is very bad. And he gave a speech, the president of Sierra Leone. And he described a national crisis, which we heard about when we went for the crusade in Monrovia a few weeks ago. There's a crisis in Freetown, in Sierra Leone. And the crisis is that young men and women are addicted to a substance called Kush, K-U-S-H. You see, I'm just trying to say to you that sitting here is a blessing for you. And it's a very addictive, it's like cocaine. Kush, but that substance is I don't know whether it's a powder or a paste or what they even do with it, I don't know. But the substance is derived from the bones of dead bodies. So in Freetown now, they are ravaging cemeteries. And it's young boys. And they show pictures of the people who are high on this Kush. It's like you can stand like this. Yeah. Or it's terrible. Destroyed. The world is headed for destruction. And everybody in it. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "For broad is the way, and many are those who are on that road to destruction." And he said, "Narrow is the way, and few are those who are on that road." I'm saying that as you sit here, you could have been on drugs. But tonight I'm talking about the fact that God calls people. He calls people. And he doesn't call a few people. He calls many as possible to come to him. There are many types of calls. God calls us to himself first. He calls us to serve him. Even the serving, there are many different levels of the same serving God. But God, in his mercy, he calls. And anybody he calls, he intends, the original plan is that If he will call, I mean, why will God call somebody and not choose the person? When he's calling, he calls people and he chooses them. For you to enjoy anything nice from God, you must go to, I think there are some jobs where you go, you have two interviews, three interviews. Yes, yes. So the first round of your blessing is that he will call you. Then there's a second round where he chooses people. Yes. So you will notice that God is not doing his works in everybody's life on earth. He calls people. And the Bible says, many are called. Notice it, it's not all are called. Not all are called, but many means most. I don't want us to go into why it is many and not all and all that. The point is that God's kindness is directed towards most people. His goodness, his mercy, his love, his kindness, his graciousness. He wishes that most people will enjoy what he has to offer. So when he's calling, he calls many people. Many people. Why does he call? He calls you because he has an intention to bless you. He has a good mind about you. He wants to be good to you because he's a good God. He's a good God. Unlike the devil who steals, kills, and destroys, he is good. He gives life. So his plan is that he calls many people. Many people. Many means a lot, almost plenty. And I'm glad to see that you and I are one of those, are some of those he has called. He has called. So those he calls, he wishes that, you see, the ultimate plan, God's blessings are not directed at those who are called. His blessings are directed at those who are chosen. So when he calls you, you must also make sure that you are chosen. Is those who are chosen who enjoy the blessing of God. If God has any blessing, his blessings are not with those who are called. Psalm 65 verse 4. Psalm 65 and verse 4 shows the one who is blessed. Look at it there. Look at it on the screen. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Maybe the choosest is too strange an English word for you. Give me the New King James or some new translation. Blessed is the man you choose. So it's the one who is chosen who is blessed. It's the one who is chosen who is blessed, not the one who is called. When you are called, it means that you are a likely candidate to be chosen. But it is sad that only a few are chosen. If you are sitting here, you are called. All of you, young boys, girls, everybody, man, woman, God has called you. He has gathered us here. We are like people he has put into a warehouse. That he is going to come in the morning and choose. Not you. Not you. Yes, you. Not you. Not you. Not you. Yes, you come. Choose. He said, no, not you. Yes, you. I've chosen you. You come. Yes, you too. No, not you. You. Yes, come. Yes, not you. Not you. Yes, you come. So he comes and he chooses. Now, his blessings, if his blessings are in a bag, his blessings are for those who are chosen. Hey, sir, I want to tell you that you need the blessing of God.
I need it.
Yeah. You need God's blessings to be complete. There is nothing you have that can take care of yourself completely. No matter how intelligent, how beautiful, how smart, how great, you will need a divine dimension to your life. There's a contribution to your life only God can make. If that contribution is not made, you won't be complete. So you grow up a little and you will meet people who have a lot of money, but they are committing suicide. You see young boys whose parents are very rich, but they are on drugs. Because there is a certain dimension of life. The psalmist said, except the Lord builds, they labor. So laboring is man's prison. We labor. We labor. We labor to build houses. We labor to build our marriages. We labor to raise our children. We labor to build businesses. We labor. I'm laboring. But except God's contribution comes in, what I am doing is in vain. You must take your children to good Montessori schools. But if the Lord doesn't contribute the parts that only he can contribute, you are wasting your time. Where people go and they are blessed, you go there and there's a curse there. Where people send their children and their children are blessed, you send your children there and they go and become homosexuals. Because it is the blessing. You see, the blessing of the Lord. I'm trying to let you understand that no matter how intelligent, no matter how pretty, how great, how connected, whatever you are, there is still a dimension of life that only God can contribute. That is why in all our goings and gettings, we pay attention to what God also has to say. What God also has to contribute. Otherwise, I mean, there are godless people. There are people who don't believe in God at all. They are very rich. There are people in our classes who don't go to church, but they are first. Does anybody know such people? They don't go to church. They are godless. They are always swearing. They are using vulgar words in school. They are, this, but they are first. They are second. And you are in the choir, but you are 28. The position. It's a position. But as you live and live and live, By 40 years, 50 years, you will notice that the guy who was first is in Isawom. The guy who was second is on drugs. But you who were 28 and you were walking with God, you are living a decent life with your husband, with your wife, with your children, and you are living a decent life, heaven bound. Heaven bound. There's a difference between a blessed man and an intelligent man. There's a difference between a blessed man and a rich man. There's a difference between a blessed man and a popular man. You must look for God's blessings. And if you are listening to me, I'm happy to announce to you that you have already passed the first test. The first level of God's selection. I mean, you are here. Tell your neighbor, you are here. Yeah, you are here. Tell your neighbor, tell two people that you are here. You are here. You are here. You are here. You've made it. Because most people are not here. But you are here. You are here because God has good intentions for you. Yeah. He has good plans for you. Money can't buy everything. It cannot even buy sleep. Yeah. To sleep. You don't sleep from sleeping tablets. You can have a problem. You can drink a cup full of sleeping tablets. You'll be wide awake. So the Bible says, he giveth his beloved sleep. She has no money. She didn't pass her exams, but she sleeps calm. And you with first class and three Mercedes Benz, you sleep for 35 minutes, you are up. Receive the blessing of God that makes a difference. You've made it. Why are many people selected, but only few are chosen? It means, if you will sit down, I'll tell you something. Because you need to sit. Because if you stand, you can easily fall, if I say it. Why I said you should sit is that you are likely not to be chosen. Why? Because only a few are chosen. And when they say few, it means that the probability that if you close your eyes, the person you touch will not be chosen is very high. Only a few. So listen. Assume that you are about to fight to be chosen by God. Amen. Don't sit here and think that you've got it. You have nothing. Only a few are chosen. Only a few are chosen. But in a school, if only a few get first class, those who get first class are not pigs or cows. They are human beings. So if you are a human being, it means you can also get first class. So I'm saying tonight that you can be chosen. You can be chosen. Even though the likelihood that you will not be chosen is very high, in this service, I'm saying to you that if you do what is right, you can be chosen. Acts 10, is it 35 or 38? It said, for God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, that is, who does what is right, is accepted. He will choose you. So we are going to look at today one big reason why many people are not chosen. Only a few are chosen. I want to show you what you can do to prevent you from being selected by God. That you came here, you sat here, but you ended up like an unbeliever. There is something you can do. There are a lot of somethings. Today, I'm choosing just one of the somethings. Are you ready?
We are ready.
Then if you are ready, then let's look at it. that story. The same Matthew 22. Because it is in verse 14. Look at it. It's in verse 14. So Jesus told the story. And he ended the story with this important sentence. That many are called, but few are chosen. Now, what is the story he told? He spoke a parable. This is the story. Verse 2. That a certain king made a marriage for his son. Yes. Only kings and kingly people organize weddings for their children. If you are not a kingly person, you will leave your son to organize his own wedding. Receive the blessing of a king. A kingly blessing. That as your son is sitting down eating at the reception, his one Ghana is not in it. The person who organized it is a king. Like my wedding. It's like my wedding. Yeah. My wedding was organized by a kingly person. My wife. Yes. I didn't contribute even one Ghana. I didn't have money. She knows that if I had money, I would have given all the money to her. I didn't have money. The little money I had, I used it to buy a plane ticket. So all the food, everything we were eating was from my wife. Yeah. That's a kingly person. And even at the reception, she didn't eat much. I ate because I was very hungry. I just came from Ghana. I was very hungry. I was very hungry. Hey, Charlie, I ate that day. When I was examining the Malta Guinness and the kebab and the fish, I said, Charlie, at the amenin, that's what I'm saying. Now, let's read the Bible. Let's read the, enough of. So, a man made a marriage for his son. Now, he sent his servants to go and invite people. Many. And the Bible says that they would not come. So he sent his servant again and told the people that, I have prepared a dinner. You didn't cook. I have prepared everything. Just come and eat. Verse 5. But the Bible says, they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. One to his farm. I'm ending here. Because we are going to learn a lot of things from the rest of the story. So the first thing you learn, see, all the people who were invited, many of them did not come. And the reason is given in verse 5. They made light of it. To make light of something does not mean to turn on the light in the room. To make light of, it's an expression. All right, can I have other translations so that we all understand? New message. They only shrugged their shoulders and went off. Can I have, they paid no attention. Notice, so write the English words down. One is to make light of something means to pay no attention to it. Number two, To make light of something means to just shrug it off. Shrug it off. NIV, any other translation? They paid no attention. Any other translation? Good news. But the guests he had invited ignored. So to make light of something is to ignore. To ignore it. They ignored it. And they went their way. Anything else? New International Reader's Version. They paid no attention. So now, I want someone to now read the English dictionary meaning of to make light of something. To make light. Because it is a behavior I am preaching about tonight, that you should not put up that behavior when God has called you to sit here. If you do that, you will miss a blessing. I'm talking about after being called, you should also be chosen. They paid no attention. Sir, can you read? To make light. It's an expression. What does it mean to make light of something?
To make light of means to treat as unimportant.
So to treat it as unimportant.
To play down.
To play down. You can play up or play down.
To understate.
To understate.
To underrate.
To underrate.
To not do justice to.
To not do justice to.
To de-emphasize.
To de-emphasize. See, when you emphasize something, you make it great and prominent and powerful. To de-emphasize means to take some the importance of something away. It's not important.
To trivialize.
I mean, if we are here and the president of Ghana comes here, I mean, you will know that an important person has come. The sirens, the policemen, soldiers, he comes in. Then I'm preaching. And the president of Ghana comes here. And I still continue preaching as if nothing has happened. I have paid no attention to him. I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, and a very, very important person is in the room. And I'm preaching. Yes, point number one, read Matthew 22. Yes, what are the president has come, he's sitting down. No recognition. I have bungalows the president. I have bungalows the president. Ladies and gentlemen, when God calls you, it is as big as the president of the country has come into your midst. God has called you. But even you, as you sit here and your phone rings, it's a special number. Very special. Normally, if it's not a number you have saved, it will come as +233 422 77833 050 numbers. But this one, as when the phone rings, you see Flagstaff House. A call has come. I mean, you go out and pick the call. Then as soon as you answer, it's, oh, is this Emmanuel? Yes. I'm Nana Adodanko Akufo-Addo. I just wanted someone in Ghana to call. I just wanted to call somebody in Ghana. And I just chose at random and I got your number. How are you doing? Are you having any problems in the country?
How many of you would like the president of Ghana to call you? You.
Yes.
How many of you would like the president of Ghana to call you? I'm number one. You see how excited you are? Even he has not called you. I'm just telling a story. You are already excited. But how much more the God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth, the God, the Jehovah calls you.
Calls you. You see, what you don't know, sir, is that it's not everybody he calls. When you get a call from the president, just know that it is not possible that the president has called every Ghanaian. When God calls you, don't think that what is happening to you is happening to everybody. Like right now, what is happening to me in my life, I know that it's not happening to everyone. It may not even be happening to the next person to me. It's the first mind to have when something good is happening to you. To know that what I'm experiencing right now with my husband, as I'm in the bedroom with my husband, what we are experiencing, not every wife experiences it. Once that mind comes up, you are careful how you behave. But when you tell yourself, oh, but this thing is, you know, everybody's husband does this thing. Oh, just finish and go. You are making light. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why many who are called are not chosen, even though God's intention is that the people he calls, he will choose them. That's his intention. The Bible says in Romans that those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Once he calls you, it means that he must have a reason why. I mean, you must be on his mind. He doesn't have a mind that he's calling 80 and then in the end he will choose only 18. No. Everybody he calls, he justifies. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, anybody he called, he justified. And anybody he justified, he glorified. So it's not God's plan that he will call 5 people and choose even 4. That's what his intention. And just like many things, whatever God does in your life is a response to what you did. He always responds to you. He responds to you. So there is something you do that makes him not choose you, even though his original mind was to choose you. It will shock you to know that as you stand here, you are supposed to be a full-time missionary in Ecuador. You stand here. I mean, pastor of a church. By this time, your church, you have 30 members. 30. On your way to 3,000.
Wow.
It will shock you to know that by this time, you should have 3 children. As you are standing here, not married. As you sit here, God has called you. And God doesn't call anybody that he doesn't have a plan to do something good to. He wants to do good to you. He wants to bless you. But he can't help himself. He only does to you what your actions compel him to do. I preached a message about 2 weeks ago called God the Rewarder. Listen to it. Go to the podcast and listen to it. As you sit here, he has just brought you here with a mind that his plan is that by 6-7 years, you should be married to a pastor in this church. I mean you. But you'll be surprised that by that time, you will not even be in church. Yeah. You'll be a sexy dancer in a nightclub. You may think I'm joking. I mean, if you're a young man sitting here, look, 40 years ago, as a 16-year-old boy, I was also sitting in church just like you. Not knowing that as I sat in the church as a 16-year-old boy 40 years ago, God's intention was to make me what I am today. There is nobody he calls that he doesn't have a plan for. But your behavior, your actions. There's hardly anything God does because he feels like doing it. Read your Bible. Most of what he does is in response to your first step. I'll take it again. I can see that the way you are dressed, you didn't hear me well. I said 40 years ago, I was sitting in a church just like these 16-year-old boys. Now, as I look back, at that time when I had nothing, God's plan was that in 40 years' time, I will be what I am today. Very super blessed.
It was his plan.
But not everybody has it like this. And the question is, why does this not happen to everybody? And the big thing we are looking at today is that it doesn't happen to everybody because most of the people treat the call of God lightly. You don't pay attention. To pay attention to something is to give your mind to something, your time. To pay attention. Like as I'm walking about, I'm looking at everybody. I've seen this handsome man. I've just seen this pretty girl. I'm looking around. I'm moving around. Then I stop and I pay attention to a boy in Adidas. The phrase pay attention to also has within it, I spend time. Even if it is 3 seconds, time I didn't spend with this one. Time I didn't give to this. Time I didn't give to this beautiful girl. But I spent 10 seconds with this guy. I paid attention to. When you pay attention to something, it means you stop and spend time with. And most of the people he called did not spend time. And you can see it. They went their way. Many of you, can you please sit down? I want to end the service. Many of you are treating the call of God lightly. When I say the call of God, please, maybe I should say, I'm not talking about being a pastor. Like I'm called to be a reverend. I'm called to be a preacher. No, this one, it's just a call to be with him. You were in the world and he called you. I mean, you can see that the doors are open, but it's not easy to enter a church. Nobody just enters a church. So for you to be here means that God has organized you.
Jesus said, nobody can come to me. So you see, that phrase that, oh, I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my life to Christ 20 years ago. I gave my life to Christ 40 years ago. It's actually a very, very, very evil statement. You don't give yourself to Jesus. He calls you. And he calls you because God has already called you. He will never call anybody God has already not called. He said, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. So if you see this one has come to Jesus, it means that God originally drew her to him. No man can come to me except the Father which had sent me draw him. He has called you. I'll tell you, it's not a small thing to be sitting in church. It's not a small thing. Nobody just walks into a church. It has never happened that somebody walking around just entered a church.
No.
Anybody who enters a church has been organized by God. Because he has an intention to bless you. Now, when he has organized you, you must now stop and pay attention to this life. Pay attention. Pay attention to this life. What should you pay attention to? This life, the Christian life. Pay attention to it. Don't live your life like I'm preaching and the president of Ghana is here and I'm continuing point after point without any recognition. I'm just going on and on. I mean, without regard to an important person. That's how you are living your life. You are continuing on and on as if nothing has happened to you. Tomorrow you are going to bed as if God never put you in a church service. You are with that girl as if God never called you. We go on and on paying no attention to this great event. To be sitting in church is a great event. It's a great event. Something great is happening to you. There is no way I would have been here. I would have this life I'm living. If I had not paid attention. There are some things God does that no man can do. No man. And one of the things God does that no man can do is that he calls people. You cannot call yourself. Mommy, you can't just leave your house. Where's your sister? Where are your cousins? You can't just leave your house and come to church. You can't. Only God can organize. Now, there are some things that only a man can do. Ah.
Yes. Wow.
There are some things only God can do. I have never seen God putting kinky and fish into somebody's mouth. No. That one is a man who can do. I don't think I'm preaching to the right congregation. I've regretted bringing this message to this service.
It's a good message.
I shouldn't have wasted my time at all. I said there are some things only God can do. What are those things? To call you. To choose you. And there are some things only you can do. What is it that only you can do? To pay attention to God is something only you can do. He cannot do it for you. Only you can pay attention to him. Only you can take him serious. If you don't take God serious and you want to follow your friends. Some of you came here as a group of friends. I had a group of friends. I left that group. Some of you must leave the friends you are with now. Mm. Unless you can see that they are also serious about church. If they are not serious about church, leave them. God doesn't do that. I've never seen God turning your neck towards him. His is to call you. Yours is to pay attention. And when you finish paying attention to him, then based on how you paid attention to him, he chooses you and blesses you. That one you can't do it for yourself. No man can bless himself. Nobody can bless himself. Nobody can bless himself. That's why tonight I'm preaching to you about what only you can do to pay attention to. Don't take this lightly. Don't take this lightly. Don't live your life as if nothing has happened. Don't live your life as if you never sat in church, that nobody put you on a bus, nobody invited you to church. Don't do that, because something great is happening to you. Don't do that. Don't continue with the girl as if God hasn't called you. Don't continue with your friends as if God hasn't called you. And one of the ways not to take something lightly is to pay attention to it. Give your time to this thing. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, read your Bible. Pay with your time. Time. Give it time. It shows that you are paying attention to it. We've got area fellowship meetings tomorrow. Join it. Attend an area fellowship meeting. You are giving it your time. Why? Why did the people not pay any attention? Why did they treat the invitation lightly? Why? I'm giving you. Number one is that people make light of the call because they did not know that they will get into trouble for rejecting the call of God. Anytime God calls you, like he has called you, and you fool with it, you get into trouble. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 3, Jonah chapter 1 verse 3. God called Jonah. Look at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. That's a call. Verse 2. Arise and go to Nineveh. Whenever God calls you, that call put your life in a direction towards a place, because the call of God is a vector quantity. It has got both magnitude and direction. When the call of God is on you, your life is always in a certain direction. In the case of Jonah, his life was to be in the direction of a town called Nineveh. He said, go to Nineveh. Look at the next verse. But instead of going to Nineveh, he rose up and went to Tarshish. Just like you, that your life should be headed for a bar center meeting. You are headed for a girl's house to fornicate. Instead of being in an area fellowship outreach, you are with your friends, your area boy, you are with them. Tomorrow Sunday, instead of being in a fellowship meeting, you are going to bed. So most people, you take God lightly when your life continues to go in the direction you were on before you even met Jesus.
sitting here, sitting here should change the direction of your life. It should change what friends you have. It changed my friends. It changed the place I spent my time. It did. When God calls you, I'm not talking about pastor, reverend, no. He calls you to come near him. It changes something in your life. It changes your friends. It changes the books you read. It changes the movies you watch. It changes where you spend your time. It changes where you go. The call of God changes what you do when you wake up. Before I got born again, whenever I woke up, there were pornography magazines under my mattress. I would take one and have my quiet time. But after God called me into church and I met Jesus, I was no longer looking at pornography magazines. I was reading the Bible in John. Your direction must change. Everybody sitting here, including this man and this woman and the man playing the keyboard, your life is expected to move in a certain direction, which will be a direction you were not originally moving in. But the call, nobody responds to a call and remains in his original environment. Yes. Once I call you and you come to stand by me, first of all, the people in your around you will change. Because as you are standing there, a man in a nice GTP, a girl in a nice blouse, show the top part of your chest, this type of girl, that's the area you are in. But if I call you and you respond to the call, it means that your friends, the people around you, must change. If you come and stand by me now, your environment is a totally different environment. Let the call of God change you. Don't take it lightly. Jonah took it lightly. He rose up and went to Tarshish. And you will notice that in this verse 3, you will notice that because, go to verse 2, let me show you. Verse 2. You see, his original destination was Nineveh. So he said, arise, go to Nineveh. And he didn't obey. So look at verse 3. Verse 3. He rose up and went to Tarshish. Now, Derek Prince says that from this time on, his life began to go down and down and down. So you notice, you see that there are some downs. From there, he went to Tarshish for the present. And first of all, he went down to Joppa. Because you see, to go to Tarshish, you must go to Joppa first. Some of you are going to hell. That's why you are going to your area, boys. Yes, yes. So the first down was that he went down to Joppa. Because you need a ship to go to Tarshish. And to get a ship, if you are in Otinibi Hills here, you can't get a ship. You must go to La. You must go to Nungwa, Kolegono, to get a ship. Labadi. You can't be in Danfa and get a ship. Except that you have made the sea come into Danfa. Mm-hmm. Which is also possible. So to get to Tarshish, which is not where God has sent you, you must go to Joppa to get a ship. And to go to Joppa, you must go down. Some of you, your life is going down because you have taken the call of God lightly. The first down, he went down to Joppa. So he went down to Joppa and he found a ship. So he paid the fare. He went to a place, paid the fare, got a ticket. And when he got a ticket, then he went down into the ship. So he went down to Joppa, went down to the port, and went down into a ship. Down. My life is going up and up and up and up. Your life must go up and up. And the way to go up is not to treat where you are sitting lightly. It's sad. I see you every time here in church. But this time you should have been in a choir. You should have been with the dancing stars. You don't want to give it your time. You, are you in a choir? Are you in any group? You just come. Are you in a group? No. You are taking it lightly. Your life is going on as if there's nothing. There are things happening here. There are things happening here. But it's not over. We would have thought that going down to Joppa, down into a ship, should have been okay. But he was going to go. See, one of the evil spirits, they don't know the word enough. Yeah. Demons don't know the word enough. No. Until you are finished. So, he went down into a ship. Now look at verse 4. Not showing that he was going to go down from the ship into a whale. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken. Verse 5. Then cried the mariners and everything there, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. So he went down into the ship. Then in the ship also they found him down. Down, 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 until they brought him from down there and threw him into the water, and he went down. I pray that today your life will start going up. Amen. Don't take this lightly. There's trouble for you. I said there is trouble for you. I said there is trouble for you. I said there is trouble for you. If you take God lightly, even as singers, there's a way you can behave. Yes. See, if you didn't sing today, because the person to lead the song chose something over the service. Something else became important. I have been in this life, this church thing, for 40 years. I've never seen anybody who took anything lightly in the church and remained where he was. The only next step is down. Down to Joppa, down to the port, down to the ship, in the ship, down. When they bring you out, you are going down into the water and down till you are swallowed up. And then God's mercy will just cause the ship to just vomit you out. That one is the mercy of God for your life. That's trouble. That's trouble. That's trouble. Because you made God a fool. Look at that. Everybody, look at the chair you are sitting on. Everybody, look at the chair. The chair you are sitting on. Look at the chair well. Yeah. Somebody is looking for this chair to sit on. Why God chose you and not Isabella, I don't know. I don't know. Because if I were God, I wouldn't choose you. There are far better people than you. So to sit here and make light of the privilege to be a dancing star, the light of the privilege to be a member of the church. I mean, by this time, all of you young guys should have been in a group or two. This group, some of you are filming, some of you are dancing stars, some of you are in the choir, some of you are in the ushers, some of you are in the Bible study group, some of you are among instrumentalists. That then it shows that what you are experiencing is a very, very important thing. You are paying attention to it, but you are not concerned. I'm sure most of you sitting here feel that you came to church for somebody. Yeah, you came here for this woman who came to disturb you and disturb your evening. But you watch. You see yourself. You'll be going down and down and down and down, because there is always a response to every behavior. God responds. He said anybody who comes to him should have a mind that he rewards.
He pays people for what they do. Good or bad, he will pay you. People make light of the call because they do not find the call of God attractive. Many of you don't find this attractive. Many of you are here just out of politeness. If Shatawale were to come here tonight, just walk about, just walk past the church, you see, you'd be very happy because your man has come. I'm not your man. Jesus is not your man. Because there is a curse on you which must come to pass. And the curse on you must let you, like he said, to underestimate Jesus. I mean, by this time, the picture of Bishop Dagwood Mills should be in your room. Your big picture of your pastor. But rather, Shatawale's picture is in your room. On your phone. It is this music you listen to because there is a curse on you which will never allow you to value what is valuable. You must never value what is valuable. You don't find it attractive. You rather find being at the side of a road at a night street side nightclub with girls. You put a girl on a car you have not bought. Somebody's car. You put the girl on the bonnet, remove her panties, and have sex with the girl on the bonnet of the car. That's what you feel makes you a guy. You don't know that you are a fool. You are a fool. You are a big fool. You are a big fool. Many of you sitting here, you find nothing attractive about this life. There's nothing nice here. For a girl like you to be in a church, you are a dancing star, and you are in a church where Lady Pastor Irabna is actually in this church. This woman is in this church. Ha! If you understood valuable things, you will come to her and make her your mommy. Call her. Can I come and wash for you? Can I come and go to the market? Oh yes, I'm not joking. I'm not looking for cat calls. I'm not. Don't shout. Don't shout. Rather, you are prepared to go and wash the panties of some female artist. Nothing here is attractive to you. You like the world's music, the world's guys, the world's girls, the things the world does, the world's footballers, the world's matches, the world's betting, the world. You don't like the church. Like, oh, who is the singer who sang today? Oh, the lady, I want to know her. I like her voice. Oh, the pastor preaching. Wow. I mean, this guy, this pastor, I want him to my guy. Can I get a picture and put and enlarge his picture and put him on my whatever? This pastor who is wearing that sweatshirt, I want to be in the church. Me, when I got born again, I, as soon as I entered the music of the church was what I selected. Nothing here is nice to you. Nothing here is nice to you. Nothing we will do here is nice to you. No matter the music we will sing, whatever we will jump, we can wear whatever. Nothing. You are just waiting for this nonsense to end so you can go home and go and live your real life. But I'm telling you that there's trouble for you. You are going to go down and down and down and down. People make light of their calling by esteeming secular things more highly than they should. Yeah, that's the point. More highly than they should. It's high. Secular things are high. The work in the bank is high. To go to school, to be at WAS, it's a high thing. It's a big thing to be a student, SHS at WAS.
or some Benkum Secondary. It's a infant school at this school. It's high. But don't make a mistake to estimate it more highly than you should. It's not as high as you are making it seem. It's not as great as you are making it seem. There's nothing much to it. Micah prophesied and said, all these things are mountains, but the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be at the top of the mountains. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Don't make a mistake. You work in a bank, there's money in the bank, tall story, glass building. First of all, you are not even important to them. They are using you. That's how they give you the money. To you. If you like, die and see. Once they know you're in the hospital, they will start interviewing people to come and take your place. Yeah. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top. We know that Was is a top mountain, but the church is at the top of Was. We know Ecobank is a top mountain, but the church is at the top of Ecobank. We know University of Ghana is a top university, but the church is at the top of University of Ghana. We know medical school, being in Kolebu, is a top job, but the word, the God of this house and the house of God is at the top. It said it shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted. Verse 1. In the top of the mountains, it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. You see the chair you are sitting on? A day will come. Somebody will be sitting here. You will not be here. Somebody will be sitting here. I'm prophesying to you. You will not be here. Somebody will be in your place. Somebody who values the church higher than Bank of Ghana. Somebody who values the church higher than University of Ghana will come and take your place. They are high, but don't esteem it higher than you should esteem it. And number 4, people make light of their calling, but by postponing their response to God. John 4, 34. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35. Don't say there are 4 months. Give me New King James. Don't say there are still 4 months and then there will come the harvest. Look at it. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes now. You see, the good things in the kingdom, you must value them now, not 4 months time. You may not even live. Somebody here, you will not even live in 4 months. By July, you'll be an expired good. Lift up your eyes. Look at the field. Don't sit here and say that when you finish your exam, or when you finish blowing the girls in the area, or when you finish betting, or when you finish, when you are okay. It is now. Now, lift up your eyes now. Value God now. Value the church now. There is nothing like tomorrow when it comes to God. He said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Men prim wakuma. Today. God's things are today. You don't want it today. You can go. You can go. You can go. Don't say there are 4 months. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. That's why we are not postponing any outreach to next month. This week, no, we are out. Next week, we are doing outreach. You can join. You can choose not to join. Every decision you take, get ready for a just recompense. God will always come and respond to your response to him. Stand to your feet.
Oh. Heist.
Lift your hands.
Oh, Jesus.
And pray. I'm not giving anybody a prayer topic. If you don't have anything to pray about, you can just sit down.
Help me, Lord.
Whatever you want to pray about, pray about it.
To your call,
you've heard the word of God.
To place value
whatever
on your
prayer
call.
You want to pray.
Oh, yes. Open your mouth and pray. Lord, help me to pay attention to the call. Not to trivialize the call, oh God. Oh, palifikata padifikata. Zantili makapaya baha. Legede do shipani mikata. Le palabani makalaba. Le pekataya ba. That Lord who will place value on the call. Pali dimisha. Leve kataya baha. Legede pelinima. Zadili pakadaba. Antili pakata. Zeli pataya ma. Mashepele daba. Lima paya palekatos. Indele payama. Leka pataya be. Adini mashapalaba. Mantaya ba. Legede pela mama. La paya ba. That will not trivialize the call. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord, to respond, to pay attention, oh God, to the call of God. Mantayabaha, Mantele Pakata, Zalipatanimia, Legede Pelikata, Ale Patanima Shapa, Ei Palikatose, Alekada Padini, Mantalapa, Zelekatura. Yes, Lord.
Every eye closed, every head bowed. In this service, I want to say, Pastor, pray for me.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to be born again.
Yes.
I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to submit my life to Him. I want Him to be my Lord and my Master and my Savior. I want to start a new life.
Yes.
I've taken this thing lightly.
Oh, yes.
But I want to be serious. I want to be serious from today. Father, help me from today.
Yes.
To be serious. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here like that, you want to take God seriously. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Just lift your hand. I'm going to see your hand. I'm going to pray with you today. That's why we are here. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to give your life. Lift your hand high. High. Yes. It's your day. Everybody has a day. Don't. When your day comes, don't postpone it. Don't say tomorrow. Because tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. Lift your hands high. You want to receive Jesus. You want to be serious from today. Lift it high. If your hand is up, I want you to come to me. Come. Come to me now. Come. Come to the front here. Come. Come. I don't know who else is coming to Jesus. You are here. You want to come to Jesus.
I surrender all.
You want to come to Him.
I surrender all. On to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Lift your two hands, everyone. Lift your two hands and say this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I'm sorry for my sins.
I'm sorry for my sins.
Today,
I realize
I've gone far from you.
I've gone far from you.
I've paid no attention to you.
I've paid no attention.
I've taken you lightly.
I've taken you lightly.
Oh, have mercy on me.
Oh, have mercy on me.
Today I confess you.
Today I confess
as my Master.
As my Master.
My Savior.
My Savior.
My Lord.
My Lord.
Oh Jesus.
Oh Jesus.
Watch me.
Watch me.
Wash me.
Wash me.
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
Please wash me.
Please wash me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Make me pure.
Make me pure.
Make me new.
Make me new.
I thank you today.
I thank you today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I want the UCOs to come. Lady Pastor Abner, come with Martha, whoever it is. I want you to go with these pastors. They will talk to you and pray with you again and explain what has happened to you. To you. Please come. Before we take the communion, I believe that many of you tonight want to take a decision to pay attention to God. To pay attention to God. To give your time. To join. Not to take this opportunity lightly. Mine as a pastor is to give you the chance. Open the door for you. It's yours to walk through. I can never walk through for you. I want anyone here today who wants to get deeper into the church by joining the Dancing Stars. You come to my right here. You want to join the choir? You can come to my side here. You want to be an usher? You can come to the middle here. And anything else you want to do, you want to work in the church, come and stand on that side. I'm waiting for you. You want to dance here? You want to sing in the choir here? You want to be an usher here? Yes. Can I have someone in the choir to stand here? The pastor is here. Is there an usher here? Yeah. God bless you. So this is the ushers. You want to be an usher or you want to dance? You want to dance, go there. Anybody wants to dance, you go there. You want to be in the choir. You want to sing in the choir. You want to join the choristers. Join them here. The choir is here. You want to be an usher. You come here. So choir is here. Ushers are here. Dancing Stars are there. And any other thing you want to do, clap your hands for them. They are coming. You want to be in the choir. You want to sing in the choir. You can come. You want to do media, you want to do video, you want to do audio, you want to take pictures, come here. Choir is here. You want to sing in the choir, here. Dancing Stars are here. You want to sing in the choir, here. Here. Choir is here. Choir is here. Choir is here. Dancing Stars are here. Choir is here. Choir is here. This is ashes. Choir. Choir is here. Choir is here. Dancing Stars are here. I've got only 30 seconds to give you a chance. That's what I do. To open the door for you. You want to join the choir? You can come here. Clap your hands for those who are joining the choir. They are not taking it lightly. They are not taking God lightly. You want to join the choir? Come here. You want to do media? Come here. You want to be an usher? Come here. You want to be a dancing star? 20 more seconds. 20 more seconds. 20 more seconds. This is media. That's a choir. These are dancing stars. That's an usher. Yes. Yes. Five more seconds. Clap your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. I want all of you to go to my right here on the terrace. Go to the terrace with your pastors. They are going to talk to you. Take your details and then help you to join this choir, the dancing stars. Clap your hands for them as they go. Clap your hands for them and take your communion. Take your communion. Lift your bread up. What are we doing? What are we doing? What is this? Jesus said, we should eat the bread to remember him. It will shock you to know that you can actually forget that you are in the church because of Jesus. You can actually forget that you gave your life to Christ 3 years ago. Jesus can be a forgotten reality in your life. So when we eat this, we are saying that I believe in Jesus. Say, I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
Say, Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Say, I am born again.
I am born again.
I am a believer.
I am a believer.
As I eat this,
as I eat this,
I am remembering Jesus.
I am remembering Jesus
as my Savior.
As my Savior
and my Lord.
And my Lord.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
Let's eat it. When we lift the cup like this, we are remembering his blood.
Oh, yes.
The blood that covers us,
yes.
That saves us,
Jesus.
That washes us,
yes.
That answers,
oh,
to the,
yes,
enemy.
Yes.
That these are blood washed.
Ah,
they've been bought by the,
yes,
blood of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Let's drink it. Lift your two hands.
Oh, yes.
Father, we pray that you cause us to remember you continually.
Amen.
Let our lives count,
oh, yes,
for believers.
Jesus.
Let your power rest in us.
Yes.
Let the knowledge of you,
Jesus,
keep us continually on this path.
Amen.
And let your will be done in our lives.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the privilege to be chosen by you. To,
yes,
be called by you,
yes,
to live for you,
oh, yes,
and to make you our Lord. We,
yes,
thank you, Father.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makanere Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.